Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And we made it, brothers and sisters. We are live in Roma. Thanks be to God, and thanks to our partners at EWTN for all their help they've been giving us here since we arrived. And I just want to say hello to you, and I'm going to explain a funny little story that happened to us yesterday, but how our EWTN crew saved the day in some very important interviews that we lined up. But first, I want to let you know that we are here in Rome, and we will be going live today, God willing, tomorrow, God willing, and Friday, God willing. The creek don't rise, and the creeks actually rose yesterday in Rome, quite literally, and we'll explain that in a second. But very exciting, and feel so blessed and honored to be back here at the Angelicum, which is the formal title is the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas. And this year they're celebrating the 800th jubilee of the next life birthday of St. Dominic. So we're going to talk about that with Father Kroll, and also I'm so excited to have, and these sisters, as you know, are both near and dear to your hearts and to ours at Ave Maria and EWTN, the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, based in southeastern Michigan, and they're just dynamos, and love them all. They make such a difference. Well, Sister Maria Silva, who is one of those beautiful sisters, is with us, and she's a director of administration, and we're going to have a great conversation from this room where John Paul II defended his dissertation when he was studying here in the late 1940s, and we'll learn more about that. We're also going to talk about the outreach that the university is having and the different events and the type of programs and scholarships. And what do they do here? What do they actually teach? Well, theology and philosophy, but what does that look like from day to day? So, and it's open to visit. If you come here as a pilgrim, you're more than welcome. The views from here are beyond fantastic in terms of we're right next to the Colosseum and the Forum. It's just mind-blowing when you look out the window here. So much to talk about. We're also going to be joined by Joan Lewis, who did take several classes here. And so she joins us every Wednesday from Rome. Usually she's working from home. And she says, well, for crying out loud, you're in town. I can't be on the phone. I'm coming over. So she'll be here for her usual segment at 39 minutes past the hour. Right now, though, I do want to bring up John Hale, our partner with Corporate Travel. We also have one of our guides, Luca Malietta, because there was some very big news that broke late yesterday. But, I have to tell the EWTN story. We have to share that because they were amazing yesterday. So I was going to broadcast from the headquarters yesterday, but sometimes with the Internet in different locations and things change, and so we were having some issues with the Internet, so we couldn't connect. But the funniest thing was, you know, when you travel to a foreign country, you just kind of go with the flow. And this time, I mean it quite literally, right, John? So right before we went to the studios, there literally was this major downpour. And I mean, it was a short monsoon. And the office, Alan Holdren's office, where we were supposed to do the interview, was left open. It was a beautiful day before that, so obviously you leave the windows open. Well, literally, the rain was coming in sideways. And so Father John Paul from our EWTN headquarters is visiting here in Rome and doing some beautiful masses and some other events. And I walk in, and he says, hey, T, how are you? And he's literally cleaning the floor with napkins, and it was literally all hands on deck. And so we grabbed every single piece of paper towel and napkin, and we're cleaning up, and it was just crazy. And we could not eventually connect to the Internet. But the good news is that the team at EWTN was fantastic. They said, okay, what can we do? Luca was our translator, Luca Malietta, who will be with us in a minute. And so he translated with the engineers, and so they recorded the videos of Dr. Barbara Yatta, who is the first female director of the Vatican Museums, and also Father Kevin, who's the head of the patrons. And so we have two fantastic interviews. Thank you, our friends at EWTN, for saving us. So we'll be sharing those with you later in the week. But Barbara Yatta's interview will run on Friday. And then if we can get to Father Kevin's this week, we will. Otherwise, we'll save it for next week. But, John, that was just one of those things where it's just funny. You know, you have to kind of laugh. And you just kind of pull together. It is what's kind of a mini pilgrimage for all of us, right?
It is. You just have to roll with it whenever you travel. And I wasn't concerned until I saw an ark being built. And then I thought, uh-oh. Yeah, it was quite a rainstorm. And then it was sunny before and sunny again after.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, but it was fun. It was so cool to see the team just like, okay, well, what are we going to do? All right, we're going to tape this for you. We'll get it done. And then they sent us the files, and bada boom, bada bing, we're in business.
Such a spirit of can-do, and it was
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. So thank you to EWTN. I just wanted to have a big shout-out to the Rome Bureau. So I wanted to just kind of have us regroup a little bit. In the first hour, we went through some details in the Michigan Hour about what's happening. And I'll have Luca Malietta, one of our wonderful guides. If you could just tell us a little bit, Luca, what did the State Department announce and some good news that's
yes,
coming for
travelers. We were talking before, the main news in Italy is the 8 o'clock news. That's when everybody tunes in, and it hit the news just at that time yesterday. The State Department back in the U.S. Kind of gives travel advisories for each country, so it's one of the resources that you check before leaving, mm-hmm. just see what's happening around the world. And in March 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, the State Department bumped pretty much all the world in category 4, in level 4, which is do not travel, including Italy. And it stayed that way, at least for the European countries, until yesterday evening, when we got the news that we have been upgraded, Italy has been upgraded to level 3, and so, which hopefully is the first step to going back to level 2. And so they're not saying do not travel anymore.
Right.
That's what we were really wanting to hear from the State Department.
And so here we are, just the morning after that news was just announced, which is amazing.
Yes.
Now, John, there are already and have been for a little while some of the COVID flights have been going on. Right?
You have, yeah. You know,
COVID-free flights.
COVID-free flights, COVID-tested flights, and American, United, and Delta, which Teresa, mm-hmm. you and I flew over, and mm-hmm. there's a testing protocol that's pretty straightforward. And when you arrive, you don't have to quarantine, and it's really been just visiting as usual, I would say, and it's been a great experience. Really wonderful to be back in Rome after a long hybrid, and you know that level 4 do not travel has a bit of a chilling effect on people going overseas, I should say. But you're right, you know, it's always level 2. I mean, that's sort of the standard. So we're making our way back to that, hopefully, you know, more commercially available travel, and it's happening rather quickly, which
yeah,
is great. Yeah,
it was
news.
Pretty clear cut, though. I mean, and they were every step of the way they were telling you and reminding you had to fill out the forms. And so as long as you just my biggest advice I would give, biggest piece of advice I think would give yourself enough time.
Correct.
Sometimes if you're making connections, you know, you have a short connection. Like if you're in a smaller town, let's say you're going to JFK or Atlanta, we had a 5-6 hour layover, but I'm really grateful that we did because we were able to fill out those forms and double check everything. And it might be worth it for you and your family if you're traveling over for a private pilgrimage if you're not a member of one of the Sky Clubs, to purchase a day pass for the family, because then you'll be in a nice, comfortable place, and then there's staff there that can help you with the forms. But if a pilgrimage to Italy has been on your bucket list, now is a great time to come. June is always a beautiful month, but it's always very, very crowded, and you're not going to find that. And when you hear our interview with Dr. Yatta later in the week, I was amazed when she said that when you're going through now these main places in the Vatican, even leading into the Sistine Chapel, you're not necessarily going to hear what you normally hear, silencio, where they're packed like sardines and you're moving through. She said it's much more of a pilgrimage experience. Now, obviously, the Vatican wants as many people to come through, which is why it's so crowded and there's so much art there and history. But this is a much different experience. Capacity levels are going to remain low for a while because they want to just have this process. But they're also going to be extending the hours, John, of the Vatican Museums, which I thought was interesting, to all the way up to 11 o'clock at night, she said.
Friday and Saturdays, yes. So that will increase the amount of time that pilgrims and visitors
right.
can visit the Vatican Museums. And it is, you know, she mentioned that you can actually, she used the word pray, you know, you can stop.
You can actually pray
and, yeah. before the art, and that's remarkable.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, a remarkable time to be, you know, here. It really is. It's such a great feel and such a positive energy. You know, many signs, many ways that I've experienced the welcome from, you know, dinner last night, the
right.
owner of the restaurant, just spending more time because there were fewer tables.
Right.
And, you know, we're seeing that all over the world, but that particularly seems palpable here, that you have just more genuine hospitality, in part because they just have the time.
Right. And we're also, we're busy on most of the day Monday recording a lot of interviews and different activities that you can do with your family, very family-friendly based things, the gelato factory and also the pizza class, which was just a blast, even though John didn't let me taste his pizza because he ate the whole thing. But I'm not bitter. Father's here. I'll go to confession later. But
I think I have to go to confession.
Good point. No. But it was a lot of fun. So we're doing a virtual Rome pilgrimage, and we'll have more on that later. But Luca, if you could pass the microphone to Father and Sister, I want to just give them a chance before we really get into the nitty gritty about this amazing place here. Father, thanks for hosting us. Really appreciate it. We've been talking about this for a while.
Well, devo iniziare la conversazione in italiano. Benvenuto a Roma.
Yay!
Wow, your pronunciation is so good. Wow, you've been working at it.
But I guess I could see why you said that she literally runs this place.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a lot of help. Yeah. They make me look good. Let me tell you something. They make me look good.
Well, thank you, though, for hosting us. This is very exciting. And, Father, could you tell us a little bit more about the classroom that we're in?
Yeah, so this is Aula 11, and this is the actual room where Father Carroll, the young Pope St. John Paul II, Father Carroll Wojtyła, defended his doctoral dissertation in 1948.
Mm.
So it's, as you said earlier, the room is a relic. The university is
a relic.
He was everywhere. He walked all the halls, the classrooms, everything. So it's plus we've had many other people that are saints, blesseds. Father Ragi Ghani is an Iraqi priest who was martyred. He's a servant of God right now. The process for beatification is underway. He was a student here not that long ago. So
I think what's wonderful is that because we're in the heart of Rome, you have a unique opportunity at the Angelicum. We literally are a stone's throw away from Piazza Venezia. We can actually see St. Peter's in the distance. And so we have the privilege of being able to really minister to the church in a way that's very significant because of our location.
Aren't you also near, obviously the Colosseum and the Forum, but you're near St. Mary Major too, aren't you? Not too far away?
It's a 15-minute walk.
Oh, it's not bad. Very close.
Away.
Yeah.
St. Mary Major.
So if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, it's a Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon here in Roma. Thank you for all your prayers and your well wishes as we arrived here safely. Appreciate it so much, and we're just having a great time here at the Ange. We're going to talk more about this with Sister Maria Silva and Father Benedict Kroll. And really just thanks, Father, because we finally worked through this. We were talking about it back and forth, and I know that you do welcome groups here. Before we break, tell us a little about who can come here and visit.
Well, if you just go to the Angelicum website, angelicum.it, and then click on the Give button. I am the Director of Development also. But certainly we have a number of groups that come through. They're typically associated with our students, who are mostly pastors, parish priests, who bring pilgrimage groups in to come visit us and to see the sites, to visit their Roman alma mater. So there's different opportunities. We have a beautiful church as well, and we're right here in the historic center of Rome.
Yeah, in the heart of Rome. It's just unbelievable. You can't say that I forgot the views, how great they were from here, but just to be up on that, on that terrace again yesterday was just phenomenal, and this city is just so just incredibly unique.
Also, just so I don't confuse people, the reason I say click on the Give button is because that's how there you'll find my contacts at the very bottom of that page.
But there you'll also find an opportunity to give to the Angelicum. Our wire transfer information is there, and so is an opportunity to give by credit card.
You have a great voice, sister.
That's not what I meant to say, sister. Okay, what I was talking about is that's where you're going to find all my information. You can reach me direct right there. So,
hey, you know what? If people choose to give, God love them because they're giving to something very, very important. So, right? We're going to include this in thinking about all the ways you're giving back to the church and to the world, and we'll talk more about that. Let's give ourselves and Jesus a round of applause. We made it here, and thanks again to our friends at EWTN for saving the day yesterday and helping us with some other great interviews. Sister Maria Silva, Director of Administration, and Father Benedict Kroll, who's Director of Development and Mission Advancement, John Hale from Corporate Travel, and also, of course, in studio with us in our room here, the room where John Paul II, Father Carol Wojtyła, defended his dissertation, Luca Malietta, and Bianca Tedesco, also here. She was with us in the first hour of the show from our Rome Office of Corporate Travel. We'll be right back. It's a Wednesday morning. You're listening to the one, the only EWTN. Stay tuned.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. We are live from the Angelicum, the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Roma, and so excited to be here with Father Benedict and also Sister Maria. And Sister Maria Silva is the Director of Administration. Father Benedict is the Director of Development and Mission Advancement. And Sister, we're very close, as you know, to the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and just love them to pieces. And I think Mother Assumpta will be very proud, and Sister JoJo, Sister Joseph Andrew, and I know you want to say a big shout out
to
the ladies.
Yeah, hi, Mother. Yes. Hi, Sister Joseph Andrew. Yeah.
So when did you come here? How long have you been here?
I've been here 3 years now, but I've only been at the Angelicum for about 7 months. I started as the librarian of the North American College, and then last year I started as the Director of Administration for Angelicum.
Briefly, if you could, and Father, I'll have you do the same. God is just, you know, it's so amazing, and the journeys he takes us on, it's like you can't make it up, right?
No.
And I know you have a very, as we all do, interesting testimony, but yours is quite unique. Just quickly kind of walk us through the journey of how you decided to discern a religious vocation.
Sure. I was always, I grew up in a Catholic household, very Portuguese and Brazilian, very culturally Catholic, but also very authentically, devoutly Catholic. And when I was about 18 years old, I just felt this, just compelled to look at religious life. But because I came from a background of really honoring your parents and your family by being successful, it was very much a tug of war in my heart, because though I wanted to give everything to the Lord and I felt like this desire for something more, there was also this desire to make my family proud of putting me through a Catholic education, making the sacrifices to pay for that, you know, working constantly to just give us the American dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, long story short, I had this moment when I was, I just realized that all of the success that I had, because I was the CFO of three car dealerships.
Wow. Year,
all of the success that I had, all the money, the shoes, the clothes, the designer
purses. You were the one with the purses.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, and so but all of that, it mattered little in the scheme of things, because I realized that if that's what I had to show for my life, it was pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those eye-opening moments when you go, I'm never going to really be full of joy, really happy, unless I throw my lot in with the Lord. You know?
Did you ever think that you would be in Rome, though, doing what you're doing here? I mean, when you decided, okay, this is what I need to do, I need to turn my life over to the Lord in a bigger way.
I know you've heard Mother say that religious life is an adventure. It really is. You know, there's also a saying, if you want to travel the world, become a sister. Because they send you everywhere if you're a missionary. Like, you get to, like, all these wonderful places. I never imagined that I'd work in Rome, so it's just a privilege. And, you know, thank God for holy obedience.
There you go. So, Father, your journey, how did you end up here?
Well, before I arrived here, I was the Director of Vocations for the Dominican Province of St. Joseph, the Eastern Province of the United States. Did that for 8 years. And after I finished, we were tremendously blessed during those years. But right after I finished that, I didn't know what was going to happen. But then the Master of the Order, just like Sister Maria, asked us to take on this role here. And, of course, I was like, okay, Director of Development. Okay, what does that mean? It's like fundraising. Oh, okay.
Oh boy. Yeah.
No, but this is the thing. You end up doing what you learn new things constantly, and I'm every day.
Well, the thing is, the grace. You know, God gives the grace for when He asks you to be obedient. He gives you the grace to do what you need to do. You know, that's the beauty of our faith. That.
Yeah, and Sister Maria has helped me a lot. So
we help each other.
There's no I in team, as they say,
but there
right?
is an ME.
Yes. I never heard that one before. But I'm bummed.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, the Angelicum is an extraordinary place, and I thought, okay, do I really want to be the money man at the Angelicum? It's like, that's not why I became a priest. But the fact is that the work of our university affects the entire church, the entire world. We have just under 1,000 students from over 90 countries. So, you know, John Paul II is our most distinguished alumnus. We've had, blesseds have studied here. We have tremendous influence upon the church throughout the world because the future leaders come here. I mean, great minds, great lay leaders like Ted Shree studied
their
doctorate
here.
We have people that are pretty well known have studied here and have a wonderful experience here. It's also a place of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So the Angelicum, we've had Eucharistic adoration here every day of class for the past 18 years. Mm. And COVID did not stop us. We had to stop, obviously, because of the law for a little while. But generally speaking, even through the pandemic, our students have kept Eucharistic adoration going every day of class. It's been a tremendous blessing. So faith, the content of faith, they're studying the incarnation in the classroom. And then they're going into the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel to pray. So it's a beautiful place. It's an ancient place. It's 451 years old. So
I think that's one of the biggest draws for the Angelicum is that not only is it a place where people can experience the faith in a very beautiful, poignant way, but also because it's the only Pontifical University in Rome that's bilingual. So it's a big draw for a lot of students here.
In terms of the main draw, you mentioned it's bilingual, but I know that it's a combination of theology and philosophy, correct? Can you talk about the curriculum a little bit, Father?
Yeah, so we have, there's actually four faculties. So there's the basics for priesthood, which would be philosophy, theology, and canon law. And then in addition to that, we have our social sciences faculty. So there's four faculties, and there's golden opportunities to come to Rome to study right now. So just so that you know that, we want to let everybody know, spread the word. There's great opportunities. We've been the beneficiaries of some wonderful scholarship money for students, for new students to come and to be here. There's plenty of opportunities.
Yeah. If anyone is interested in studying at the Angelicum, we have... like Father said, scholarships for all of the different faculties, philosophy, theology, social sciences, canon law, the Istituto de Mater Ecclesia, which is kind of a catechist formation institute that we have. There's also permanent formation, Institute of Spirituality. There's the JP2 Institute of Culture. What's beautiful at the Angelicum is that the faith is thriving here. Mm. And so if you're looking to study in Rome, this is the time to do it because there's money available for you to get your academic fees covered. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to kind of put COVID in the
background.
In
Amen,
the background,
sister.
Get to the Angelicum, study the faith, and go preach the gospel.
How many of the students are seminarians or those who are seeking a religious vocation? Is it mostly seminarians or is it a combination?
The statistics are is that most of the students here are predominantly priests and religious. There are probably about 10% of the student body is about lay people around.
Such as our own Joan Lewis, who's here with us, who took some canon law classes here.
Right.
Yes,
and a lot of the lay people that actually come here eventually discern a religious vocation of the priesthood. So, but it's predominantly priests and religious.
What is it like in terms of it? I mean, I have a degree, I have a journalism degree, but I wish I would have thought about, because I know so many young people who pursued communications or are pursuing communications who have had the opportunity to study abroad. And I was just, I didn't even think about that. I guess back, in the ancient times when I was going to college, it wasn't that busy or popular. But I think traveling is so important, and I think it gives you such a different perspective and helps you appreciate other people and other cultures. And also, I think it helps you appreciate the universal church. Would you agree?
Yeah, the Angelicum is a perfect place for that because the fact is, you come here and you meet the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, you know, your classmates from India. You know, the biggest number of students we have are
yesterday
Americans.
Yesterday we met a young woman from Rwanda.
Yeah,
right?
We're from Rwanda. Mm-hmm. We have there are students from all over, from Asia, from Africa. It's really the church universal. You know, it's incredible to be able to get to know these people, to hear their to share faith with them, and to be able to talk in class with them about that, and to learn all the different perspectives of different cultures, and also to live it out with other people.
More of this on the other side of the break, and we are live in Rome. We have Sister Maria Silva, Father Benedict Kroll from the Angelicum, and then, of course, we're also going to be chatting in person. I can't believe we're actually going to be doing an in-person interview with Joan Lewis, Joan Jerome, on a Wednesday right here at the Angelicum. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Wednesday morning. We are live in the Eternal City of Rome. Thanks be to God. Equipment working. Father said some prayers over everything for us this morning. Good job, Father. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And it's a unique experience to be in this beautiful room. It's well known for so many people who've studied here, but more specifically, there's a beautiful plaque outside that you'll see, the sweet face of Pope St. John Paul II, because he defended his dissertation back in the late 1940s, right, Father? 1948, yeah. So he was here for?
He was here for two years.
2 years, yeah. Wow. So I guess we could say then that this whole place is pretty much a relic.
Pretty much.
Would that be a second class, third class, do we know? Second class, yeah. So I wanted to talk, there's so many things going on. I spent some time, not only on your website in preparation for the interview, but this beautiful magazine that you gave me a copy of yesterday, looking at what's happening this year because of the 800th Jubilee year for St. Dominic. But you have some really fantastic events going on, especially my area of interest would be the culture and all that John Paul II gave us in his understanding. I consider him one of the great media popes. But what can students find out by getting involved in some of these events? Tell us about them.
Okay, well, this year we have a brand new program. Okay, we just, a year ago on the 100-year anniversary of the birth of John Paul II, we launched the St. John Paul II Institute of Culture. Okay, this is it's a brand new culture under our Faculty of Philosophy to talk about the culture and to talk about theology, philosophy, culture, and everything else. It's a beautiful, you know, institute, brand new, inaugurated on the 100-year anniversary of his birth. They've been doing online talks all year, and a lot of those are accessible on our YouTube channel. But also, this next fall, they're going to start a year long program for, it's called JP2 Studies in Rome. So there'll be an opportunity to experience, you know, some of these world class speakers, you know, here at the Angelicum, and also coming from all over the world, who are experts in the thought of St. John Paul II's,
wow,
you know, his theology, his understanding of engaging the culture. And there also will be a pilgrimage going to Poland, walking,
wow,
in his footsteps. So that's all part, and plus they'll be here and they'll get to experience the university, the life of the university, which is truly the universal church. So it's a great opportunity.
There are we have other one-year programs here, so that if someone is just looking to spend a year to study in Rome, they can. So the Institute of Spirituality has a one-year program. The Canon Law has a special one-year program on religious life. So all the canon law pertaining to religious life, which would be interesting for a lot of our, you know, religious and priests in various parts of the world, so that they can go back to their homes and be experts in canon law in religious life. So there's a lot of opportunities here that people can study for the year and just enjoy Rome, feed the intellectual life.
And
we'll give them scholarships for it.
Well, and I think just not only the intellectual, the spiritual, but also, you know, we're not, and I don't have to tell you this, you're the experts, but what I love about our Catholic faith is that it encompasses all the senses. Mm-hmm. And you get that here in Rome, even in this location, because there's so much even to see with the eyes and the, John Hale was saying earlier, just the smell in the springtime, the jasmine and the bougainvillea. And so then the beauty. And the art, the religious art, and of course, you know, the culture and the food. So it's more than obviously our intellect. But I was just reading a beautiful poem in my Magnificat this morning. It's a feast of St. Ephrem the Deacon. My husband's a deacon, so that obviously caught my attention. But this prayer of gratitude that he has about God opening up everything and how he was studying scripture and then paradise became real to me and how everything that we have before us is God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the beautiful thing is that when you live in a place like Rome, that's something that's in the forefront of your mind all the time. You walk down the street, there's a church open, you walk in, and it's overwhelming, yeah. The beauty. And it can't not point you to God.
Right.
Because
yeah.
Beauty is beauty, truth, goodness, that all points to God.
Yeah,
it captures the heart.
I'm particularly interested in the course, the cultural courses, because we all know what the culture is doing to our world right now, and misinformation and fake news, and we can go on. But also during COVID, there was so much pain, and then the pain was exacerbated because things that people were not aware of in terms of maybe it was something that they didn't realize they had an addiction became very serious. Whether it was, for example, God forbid, pornography or other areas of just really, really problematic situations developing in families. And so the culture took advantage in a bad way. And this is something that's an antidote to that.
Yeah, part of this is I think has to do with the life of the mind, right? So mm-hmm. We also as Catholics, it's faith and reason. And that's really the hallmark of St. Thomas Aquinas, our patron,
mm-hmm.
who, after which our university is named, he was able to put faith and reason together. And I think that when you're able to do that and you can see the truth, your mind moves towards the truth and you engage it. So the truth is beautiful also. So there's also this emotional, this beautiful context of what truth and our Catholic faith is combined together with all these different things. But we need to engage the mind and also the heart in dealing with and overcoming, you know, the challenges of the culture. So, right? So there are things that are redemptive about the culture, obviously. Mm-hmm. Try to incorporate them. It's not all bad. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? But at the same time, we have to be able to distinguish what's good from the culture, what's not good from the culture. And a lot of that's going to be by the engagement of the mind with the truth of our Catholic faith.
That's why it's so important that we have good formation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't have good formation, we can't see truth for what it is. And if we can't see truth for what it is, then we can't become the saints that God wants us to be. You know, I think COVID was actually a good thing in this sense, because if we're able to recognize who we are
right.
more fully, then we know what we need to do to become the saints God wants us to be. Now, that's painful sometimes.
Right.
But thank God we have the faith to know that God is merciful. He can heal us in all of our wounds. And then we have the support of one another to help us through the difficult times, right? We have friends around us. We have you giving us a pep talk on the radio. Like, these are the things that we're made for relationship.
Relationship, right.
We're made for relationship. We're incarnational beings. And so we need one another to help support us, to help put one foot in front of the other so that we can be like JP2.
And the thing is, there has been a lot of suffering this year, right? We know that a lot of people have really gone through. I mean, we see it around us. We see a number of hotels and different restaurants that have closed around us here, but some of them are starting to open now too.
Mm-hmm.
They're reopening under so there's a lot of life that's happening right here in our neighborhood, right around us. But in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of addictions, whatever, God is working in the
through
midst
all
of
it,
all of this, right?
Right? Mm-hmm.
So divine providence and everything, God works for good for those who love him, St. Paul.
Romans 8:28.
It's so beautiful. And I think that is such a beautiful passage to help us to understand that there's something bigger happening. And I think we have to, as Catholics, we have to believe in that, right? And because we know in the worst of times, but in the best of times, God's at work. And he's doing something good, right? God's plans are always good.
Right.
And this is part of God's plan, right? I think it's part of God's plan to bring us to our knees a little bit too.
Yeah.
Go back to the confessional, perhaps.
Right.
That's all part of it. But the fact is that God has a plan, and his plan is for
us. He allows things to happen. It's like he doesn't go around zapping us, but he allows things to happen because he allows us to either turn more closely to him or go in the other direction. And usually, I remember years ago when I just started to come back to the church and I was in a Bible study, and one of my professors said, she said, all sunshine makes a desert. And so the suffering is what you remember and you grow from, and there's beauty in all of that. Thank you for helping to bring us the true, the beautiful, and the good. Sister, I'll give you a shameless plug there. Okay. The website.
Please visit us at angelicum.it and find out more about our scholarships or about how you can give to donate and help us with our mission.
Well done. Thank you both, Father Benedict and Sister, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We are live from the Angelicum in Rome, and we've been talking about this for, well, almost 2 years now, and I can't believe I'm sitting here with my sister. Second time this week already, and we're going to see each other again tonight, Joan Lewis. And Joan, when we posted the picture from Sunday night from our dinner, you should have seen the response. Everyone was so excited and saying, we love our Joan's Rome, and it's so good to see you together again, and here we are.
Well, I shared it, and so I saw a lot of those responses. It was extremely gratifying. But I think every other show that we have when you're in the States and I'm here is, oh, I can't wait to get back to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever thought that they would come and invest?
Yes, right, right.
And thank the Lord.
Amen.
Really.
Thank God. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've given thought in recent days to the fact that the pandemic seems to be slowing down in so many places in the world, obviously here in Italy where it was so bad. But I wondered if that month-long rosary marathon might not be behind some of this, because if our listeners recall, beginning on May 1st, going through the entire month, Pope Francis had called for a rosary marathon. And at 6 o'clock every night in Rome, the first day and the last day were actually in Vatican City, and then all the intervening nights at 6 o'clock Rome time, some shrine from around the world was linked up, and people could tune in. They could tune in Facebook. They had various ways. And the whole thing was a prayer for an end to the pandemic, even though so many people in these shrines, of course, were wearing masks, et cetera, because of the pandemic. But, you know, if this is God's way also of saying, well done, good and faithful
servant. Faithful
children.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've asked you to pray, you prayed, and I'm sure for some people there were strange hours of the day or night when they got up to say the rosary, or they could say it in their own home during the day, but if they linked up with the Vatican, that would have been a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just occurred to me. I mean, it's only just over a week that rosary marathon has
Well, it
ended.
Makes sense if you think about all the times. I mean, all of the approved apparitions, she's always telling us, pray the rosary, get back to Mass. I mean, it's the same motherly message, you know, to do what we need to be doing. But if you think about throughout history in the Church of how many times the rosary has preceded something miraculous, and, you know, we think about Lepanto,
sure.
We think about other times in the life of the Church. So the audience today, I didn't get a chance to read it before I came over, in terms of the message of the Holy Father. I'm going to try to get to the Angelus, I hope, on Sunday. Just to be
right.
There, you know, just to be
sure.
Able to have that experience again, since it's been a few years. But what is the latest, Joan's Rome,
well,
from Rome?
Well, everybody lucked out today because, as you well know, having been here, we had a huge, unexpected, quick storm yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Well,
I have a story
so
about that.
It
but anyway,
so
we'll
quick.
Tell you that later.
And one of my first thoughts, of course, because living right across from the dome of the Basilica, you know, looking at the Vatican, was, oh, my gosh, how are they going to do this for tomorrow? Because it was scheduled today, as it has been for a couple weeks now, the audience was scheduled to be in the San Damaso courtyard of the Vatican, which is all entirely open, a beautiful courtyard. And I noticed today on the TV a lot of, in the many, many archways surrounding this courtyard, they have beautiful plants and trees, so they've kind of, you know, decked out the hall, so to speak. But there was a huge crowd today, very sunny, and I'm going to say, I haven't read any figures in years past, but not under Pope Francis. They always gave figures of people attending a general audience. Now, in this case, usually tickets now aren't required. So in the past, they knew how many groups were coming, single people, you know, travel, pilgrimages. But anyway, I'm going to say minimum 1,000 people.
Wow.
Oh, there had to be. It was, first of all, I didn't see any social distancing. The people were seated closer than you and I are right now. We got, 3 feet or so between us. So they were very close. And the Pope, they were wearing masks, but the Pope, of course, was going around his usual self, you know, touching people, embracing people, and I didn't see any babies that I saw, but in any event, it was very, very crowded, and I know a lot of Vatican watchers are very concerned. Of course, the Pope has been vaccinated. They're concerned, you know, will he get, not so much get, but would he give, because there is that possibility, which I didn't realize. Anyway, today the audience was on prayer. He's been doing this for
the catechesis on prayer, yeah.
The catechesis. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this since May of last year. So a long time for this catechesis. Every so often, like when he took his trip to Iraq, the trip itself was the catechesis after he came back. But this week he looked at how to persevere in prayer.
Oh.
And frankly, Teresa, if there's anything probably every listener wanted
needs,
to
we
know,
all need,
yes.
Right? Okay, please tell.
When
do share.
Yeah, you know, you watched a late movie and you are too tired to say your prayers before bed or something else like that. But how to persevere. And he talked about St. Paul. Because it was St. Paul who kept encouraging all of the then faithful, and obviously all of us, to pray, you know, unceasingly. And then he talked about the church's spiritual writers. And I love this because the Pope repeated it so many times today, what is now called the Jesus Prayer. He said, the Russian ascetic tradition has developed the prayer of the heart based on repeating these words, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think he even said that off the cuff or something last week, but he mentioned that quite a number of times today. So it was a very meaningful audience, and you could tell people were thrilled to be there. Obviously, you know, things opening up. When will things move to St. Peter's Square? I think the answer to that would be probably when people are traveling more and there are larger groups. I mean, St. Peter's Square is enormous.
Right.
You can have 30 and 40,000 people, you know, for an audience. Whereas today, if you've seen the audiences when they're in the square, you know how there's always a group, if you're looking at the Pope, there's always a special area, reparto speciale, to his right, another one to his left. That's about how many people were in the courtyard today.
Yeah. That's a good number. I mean, I know.
Well, as I said, there wasn't any of the real social distancing, so they had people really next to each other, whereas they would have been a lot more spread out last week and the week before.
One of the things, and this is a great question to ask you also, is talking with Luca Malietta and Bianca Tedesco earlier, because they're both Romans, as of course you are and have been for many years. One of the things I noticed is that there are people, but it's a great time to be here because now that things are opening up, there's never going to, as Luca said earlier, never going to be a time like this because when I was interviewing Dr. Barbara Yatta from the Vatican Museum, she said, you now have time when you're going to the museums to stop and pray, which is something that you couldn't do simply because the crowds are just too big. You had to move along and take in as much as you could to allow other people to come in after you. There was you know, it was just very, very crowded. And she said she wants to keep the levels like this, the capacity levels, for a while because she said it's working so well. And obviously they're going to be very cautious and careful, but she said it's really working well, and they're going to extend the hours on the weekends all the way to 11 o'clock.
Well, I know that in the past they had the Friday nights in the Vatican, and that's where you go in at 7, and I think the last entry was 8 o'clock, and then it closed at 11 or something. And then I'm presuming they're going to resume the breakfast. You could go early in the morning and you know, get there at 6:30 or 7, have breakfast, and then start your tour.
Right.
And Teresa, it's not even so much just even time to pray, you know, in a church or in the museums because of a lack of crowds. It's the fact that when there were crowds, sometimes that's the only memory people went home with. They were telling
them. Or that was the final memory because they would be in some part of Italy and they'd be relaxing maybe on the Amalfi Coast or up in Cinque Terre, and they'd come out, they would come back, they want to see the Vatican, obviously.
Sure.
And then they're leaving from Fiumicino from Rome, and the last thing they remember are the crowds.
They remember crowds. They remember being hot because of crowds. You're in the Sistine Chapel, and there's someone coming around.
Silencio.
Yeah.
Right.
Every 26 seconds. And that's not a good memory. If you can barely remember the art that you saw, then that's not a good thing. Or just even speaking of art, in Florence, Michelangelo's David. And sometimes the crowds, maybe not quite like the Vatican Museums at their worst.
But very busy.
Really busy. And you just kind of want to stand there and look at this and wonder how a human being could have created such beauty, such power, such almost majesty. And you don't have time because they're asking you to move on.
Right.
And so you're right about this being the right time. I don't care if it's walking around a street, pausing in front of a beautiful fountain, or
I did that. I've been walking in the mornings before we've been having a lot of meetings, meeting with the companies with whom we work, and also met with Virginia from the March for Life Rome this morning to talk to her a little bit. And but I do an early morning walk, and I go from our hotel, and I go through Piazza Navona, then through the Campo dei Fiori, all the way over to the Tiber River and back, which is about 3 miles. And I just stopped and started to look at the fountains again, and was just awestruck.
No, it's the perfect time to be here, and we have to. But I think there's one thing that is not going to happen in this summer as crowds come back in the fall, maybe as they're even bigger, who knows, next year. I don't think you're going to hear Romans, store owners, et cetera, restaurant owners, complaining.
We talked about that earlier.
Complaining about crowds. They have been yearning for, a year and a half at this point.
Right.
For people to return. Some businesses we know have closed.
Yes, that was, there are some stores that I noticed and some restaurants that I'm very familiar with that have shut down. And even a very nice hotel not far from you, the Madre Pia. Now, I know that happened, did that happen pre-COVID?
Actually, in the summer of 2019,
okay.
It closed.
Yeah.
But it was sold. So it's a 5-star, 4-star hotel company. I don't know which coming into.
But the Michelangelo hasn't reopened yet. There's a few others that have closed.
Wow.
The Ciceroni, which is a lovely hotel by the Castle San Angelo, which I love. I recommend that quite often. But I think things will come back, and there's plenty of room for people. And it really is a wonderful time. We were speaking earlier that it feels like Rome might have been in the days of, Audrey Hepburn or Princess Grace or Sophia Loren. Roman Holiday, my favorite film.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But the streets were filled, but because travel, obviously we didn't have the transcontinental flights, people weren't coming over. And if they were coming over, they were coming over by way of ship. And so they had a certain amount of means, and it wasn't as crowded. So it was a different feel to it. But it felt just new to me. I've been here so many times, but it felt new.
Well, my first time was when very few Americans were actually traveling overseas. I came to study French in Switzerland and spend a year. And we traveled extensively during that period. But it was pretty much the rare person, even in summer, and not because I'm talking this, 60s who came over. And in research for my book on the last Holy Year of Mercy, I discovered that it really was in the 70s, then it was for the Jubilee Year of 1975, that travel had opened up. There were now airlines which were offering, there were charter airlines, and so the Foreign Study League that I worked with and for many years, they would charter entire planes of teachers and students.
Wow.
And then you filled up the former Pan Am and Transworld.
Oh, boy, are we old. Remember TWA and Pan Am?
I can't. I've got stuff TWA would probably love to buy in my home. But anyway, no, those. So that's when it really opened up. Travel became cheaper. You didn't have to sell your home to bring a family of four to Europe for a month, So, but we're grateful to the Lord. We're grateful to everybody who hung in there, to the people who could. My heart has been bleeding for a year and a half for those people whose life savings went to save something that couldn't be saved.
Yeah. Well, the travel industry was
sure.
really
oh,
hit hard because it's different because you can reopen a restaurant and you get the money right away. People are paying you and that money applies. Yeah. In the travel industry, people are putting down payments, but that has to go to the various services and it's a very challenging time, but a very, very busy, according to what John was telling us and Bianca was telling us earlier. So many requests now coming. People want to come now.
Thank
and of course
it.
With the announcement yesterday with the State Department, very good news. So thank you for coming all the way over here. I mean, I know you could have been on the phone, but when you said to me in your email, you said, "Well, why would I do that? I'm here. Let's do this together in person."
Well, just think of the emails you'd get. What? You're in the same city and you can't get together?
Well, speaking of getting together, we're getting together tonight.
Yes.
So fun.
Dinner chez moi.
Dinner at Joan's beautiful apartment. We'll take lots of pictures. Her apartment is gorgeous. She is such a great hostess. That's a mean table. And as a great chef, I'm looking forward to it.
I hope
so. Would I bring white or red? White?
Huh?
Prosecco? White? What would you like me to bring?
Whatever you wish. I have Prosecco on ice.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back, and we'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow. We are planning to be at the wonderful North American College. Tell you a little bit more about that show tomorrow. And stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up from Roma.
Genthy Automotive Group is a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio. The Genthy Group of Chevrolet, Honda, and Honda Power Sports is pleased to serve the Ave Maria audience with outstanding sales and service for all of Metro Detroit. As we emerge from this difficult year, the Genthy family is committed to honest and professional support for all the transportation needs of your family. They're ready to serve you 24/7 when you Google G-E-N-T-H-E. May God bless all of you.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This week on Christ is the Answer, we begin Father John's teaching series on the Ten Commandments. After freeing the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt, God spoke to Moses and gave him the rule to which the people of God would abide as part of his new covenant. The most recognizable of these rules are the Ten Commandments. Let's listen in this week as Father John expounds on the first and second of these commandments by asking the question, why be good? Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thanks so much for your listenership to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. All of our interviews are archived. More information on the great programming and also more information about Joan's Rome, her wonderful blog, and Vatican Insider, all the great work she does. Of course, you can go to Joan's Rome. It's at WordPress.com, right? Right. Okay. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to be at the North American College, a residence where many of the seminarians studying for example, here at the Ange or possibly the Gregorium, where they stay and where they live. And we're going to talk to also a Swiss Guard member, a seminarian, and we'll learn all about the neck. Talk to you then from Roma. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.